Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another installment of
Hysteria 51.
Up all night.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that is doing an extra podcast this week, and hopefully more after that. This is Hysteria 51.
A remote extra podcast, because you are credited up like that monkey from Outbreak, and Lisa and I don't want you in our house.
That's not true. I am
Governor. Put your name in the package bill saying John Goforth has to stay in his domicile. I didn't even ever use that terminology, but that was the proper terminology from the governor.
I'm fully healed from my strep throat and I'm good to go. By the way, we are broadcasting live from various points in the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. I am your host, John Goforth. Alongside is my co-host, not exactly alongside, a long wire. I don't know. His name's Brent Hand, and we are joined by a very special guest, Brent.
Yeah, but I turned off CBOT, so Lisa's here. We can talk about her, I guess.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Producer Lisa, you're on the mic rather than behind the board. How's it feel?
Well, in these times, I should probably be behind a very thick glass, but Brent says that whatever he has, I get to have too.
Yeah, we're what's this, like tandem quarantining?
But Brent, does it count when during the day when you leave and go lick bus stops?
Someone's got to do their duty. Hey, all joking aside, did you see that Instagram influencer guy that was going around licking things now has coronaviruses in the hospital?
No way.
Yeah, he's one of those people, two of them now, that have made jokes about one woman that licked a toilet seat and this guy was licking doorknobs. Both of them are in separate hospitals with coronavirus.
And herpes of the tongue? Why would you lick a toilet seat?
It's like the guy from the Utah, the Jazz. He was at one of the press conferences before the NBA season was canceled, and he's like, I'm not scared of it. And he walked by and touched the ends of all the mics, and he's the one who came down with the virus and is why the season was canceled.
Yeah, that was that was like the first big coronavirus faux pas, other than the whole not taking it seriously by the federal government.
I would have went with the whole bat soup thing, but yeah, you know, you choose your adventure.
But yeah, so it was a couple days before anyone, let's be honest, before anyone was taking it seriously.
Some people still aren't taking it seriously.
A popular player too, Rudy Gobert, I think is his name.
It's pronounced Gogurt.
Gobert. There's no defense because you should have been taking it seriously. But like, if we are going to post a defense for him, it's like, well, they hadn't even canceled the NBA season yet. And then I suppose the other argument there is, and then they canceled the NBA season.
Well, and now all defense is zone defense because we got to keep 6 feet away. So,
Did you try to make like a sports joke in there?
No, I did. And I'll have you know, I succeeded.
It was super well received over here by the wide receiver in the booth.
Oh, wait. This thing's falling apart at the seams.
What's happening?
But all joking aside, though, we're talking about, you know, the things that we've done to stay, I don't know, sane while in quarantine. And Lisa and I have been eating. Not normally, I guess, is the best way to put it. You find yourself kind of going towards junk and stuff like that. And John, you had a great idea for answering to an idea that one of our listeners had, doing a Cafeteria 51.
Cafeteria 51. That's right, kids. So we're going to hop on. I don't know if it'll be once a week. Could be two times some weeks and zero others. But we're going to hop on and do extra episodes. And yes, here and there, we're going to talk about the pandemic. Not the same stuff you get on the news, like, you know, the numbers and all of that, but more along the lines of just how we're dealing with it and what, you know, because you can't ignore the virus in the room. But we're also going to try to avoid that, doing that 24/7. And one idea was exactly what you just said, Brent, Cafeteria 51. So the one thing I can tell you is we'll always be eating weird stuff. We're never both going to be sitting here going, oh yeah, this shrimp is lovely.
I don't know how I feel about that, because the first pick was your pick. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got that in the cupboard anyway. I eat that all the time. So let me just go get one.
Yeah. Yeah. So today we are going to talk Vienna sausages.
Canned meat, the number one snack of hunters. They actually use that as one of their slogans.
I know, but like, was there an actual poll, or
you just know if you're a hunter?
Oh, okay, got it.
Of which he's not, by the way.
I hunted you, baby.
Yep.
Okay. I was trying to come up with the last time Brent took a shot joke, but it just didn't fully form in time, and so then I fell apart even further because then I didn't say something else.
It's okay.
I don't know what to do in this new brave new world.
I got an important question for you though.
What's that?
Is your brand the Armor, the go to brand for Vienna sausages, or do you have one of those weird off brand Vienna sausages?
No, I went classic Armor. I knew that is the
hot dog Armor hot dogs. Remember those commercials from back in the day? Well, this isn't exactly hot. These are like, you know how like hot dogs are toaster leavings, lips and assholes. This is what falls out of the grinder at the hot dog station, I think.
So it certainly smells like that. So, before we get into what we're about to try, well, let's give the kids at home a little bit on the Vienna sausage. This is from Wikipedia, so we did a lot of research here. A Vienna sausage, otherwise known in German as a Wiener Würsten, is a thin parboiled sausage traditionally made of pork and beef in a casing of sheep's intestine, then given a low temperature smoking. The word Wiener is German for Viennese in Austria. So this is a sausage? Anyway.
I mean, it's an encased meat.
So here it is in North America. After having been brought to North America by European immigrants, the Vienna sausage came to mean only smaller and much shorter smoked and canned wieners rather than link sausage, beginning about 1903. However, they have no federal standard of identity. Yes, they do. The Armor. I think we need to update this Wikipedia page. North American Vienna sausages are made similarly to pork wieners, finely ground to a paste consistency, mixed with salt and spices such as cloves, coriander, nutmeg, onion powder, and finely ground dry red pepper. It smells like so much more like chemicals than it does all of that.
Right. Well, and it depends on what you get, because there's the original, which is my go-to, but there is smoked, there's chicken, there is barbecue flavored. They're spicy, and actually the spicy is really good if you can find them. They're harder to find, but you do have some choices out there. Now, there are people that like the Goya brand, the Libby's brand, but I'm an Armor fan myself, like we said.
Traditionalist. Yeah. So I'm looking at pictures of Vienna sausages from across the world, and across the world they look delicious. They look like just traditional sausages you might buy at a butcher.
Some of them are like, they're a little longer and harder. They look like a rolled sausage.
And then there's a picture from North America, and it's a big old can of these.
Some places, if they're dried, they call them hunter sticks, actually.
Oh, I've seen hunter sticks. Yeah.
So, you know, have you also seen the giant can that they make that is like the ends? It's just the chopped up pieces. because if it's too much work for you to chop it up to put into whatever you're making, which they are good in macaroni. Lisa, stop making those. She's not even speaking. She just has this disgusting.
I just didn't know how disgusting could get more disgusting.
They have Armor Vienna Sausage Bourbon Barbecue flavored sauce.
Like, that sounds like vomit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with Lisa on this one. So Brent, I don't want to just rain on your parade. I want to be a good partner here. So I went above and beyond. I prepared my Vienna sausages a few different ways. I went low class, I went high class, and I went normal because I want to give it every opportunity to enter into my world. I will not be judgmental. I'm not going to cast aspersions. I'm just going to give it an out. So here's what I did. First, I've got a regular just sausage out of the can. And then for the alternative to that, I just have one toasted in a pan. So they're just a regular sausage.
So I don't toast them ever myself. So I'm very bland as far as it goes. And the other thing that I will say is when you open these up, they're in like a jellied sauce. And I do not like that at all. So I have my can isn't even open. I just have it up here ready to go.
Okay. But
what I would be doing if it's downstairs, like where I'm normally doing it, is I wash them off in the sink. Like I rinse them out and drain them and then eat them that way.
However, the other day, the can you opened was kind of dry and you were upset that the jelly wasn't there.
No, not. Well, I was upset. Like, should I not eat this because it looked weird?
Because it didn't have the disgusting jelly.
I'm going to take a bet on whether you did or didn't.
So I ate part of them. The other side of them, though, they went to the dog who just loved them. He sits under me. Gordy sits under me because he knows I'm probably going to drop something at some point in time. And so, yeah, we enjoy it. Looking at the Armor site real quick while we're talking, hot and spicy is okay, but that's not my favorite. I'm sorry. It's the jalapeno is the one that I like the best.
Wow. Okay. All right. I didn't realize there were so many varied choices with your Armor Vienna sausage. Yeah. By the way, Armor just lives in sodium. I looked at the sodium count on these things. It's like 630, and they consider one tiny can two servings. So it's close to your day's worth of sodium in this little can of
which is
of
funny salt. Because Lisa and I went and got our full checkups recently, and my sodium everything levels were great. They're like, you're in fantastic health. I'm like, well, thank you.
Well, that might be true, but it has nothing to do with that. Your sodium level actually is no reflection of how much sodium you consume.
Unless you have high sodium and they tell you to cut back on your sodium intake.
The reason I know that is because I did a little dance last time I had my checkup because I'm like, ha ha, see how that soy sauce isn't hurting me. He's like, dude, it has nothing to do with it. I'm like,
well, then why did they tell you to cut back on sodium if your sodium level's high?
I don't know that. I only play a doctor on TV.
I don't know.
Consult well, what's that guy's name? That's always on CNN now. I'm spacing. They have a doctor. This poor guy. My wife watches a lot of CNN. He's on like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week around the coronavirus thing.
He's the Rona. He's the Rona guy, the go-to guy. Hey, real quick.
He hosts a podcast about coronavirus.
John, I feel like we're doing a disservice real quick before we get to your sautéed and raw style. They haven't heard me open the can yet.
Okay, go ahead.
Are we ready? Lisa,
Dr. Rajay Gupta, that's his name. Go ahead.
Which is interesting because Gupta is how I would describe the jelly that is on these.
Sure.
So, all right, here we go. I don't know if they're going to be able to hear it, but...
Oh, yeah, they could hear it.
Sounds like college.
I don't even know what that means.
I actually just meant because I ate those in college because I didn't know they existed before
that's
that.
That's what you meant.
Because my family had standards and we didn't eat those.
When the wieners come out, Lisa says, reminds me of college. I just want to put them. Okay, so I'm tapping them onto.
Oh, God.
Never poured them out without rinsing them.
Oh,
and it is
I wish we didn't do
fucking
that.
Fucking disgusting.
Oh, God. Rinse it off my with Mountain Dew. Pour some Bud Light on it. Oh, God. John,
it's bad.
It's really gross.
I've never done this before.
Oh, God. Ew.
I just put them onto
ew.
A plate.
Oh, ew.
And, ew. The jelliedness is disgusting. It looks like it was just birthed.
Looks like college.
So everything that just happened on your end, I had nothing to do with everything just happened on your end. And you have that reaction, and you're like, no, it's a good food.
Oh, it's fucking delicious.
Oh, no, we can't wait to suck the jelly off and eat them.
They are delicious. I can't, you know, most of the shit doesn't look appetizing. Have you ever seen a, I remember you used to make like leftover macaroni, part of a bag that had some, you know, Cheetos dust in it, toaster leavings. You remember the shit you used to make in college? It tasted.
Yeah, in college, I was an adventurous chef. I did what everyone should be doing right now. You go to your pantry, you go to your fridge, and you see what you have left, and you create a recipe.
All right. Well, you created two recipes, the raw and the, what'd you pan fried one of them, you said?
Okay.
Did you just brown it, or did you like slice it up?
So I have three preparations. First, by itself, one pan fried, one regular, just to understand the difference. Cause I, again, haven't had these. Two, I went cheese cracker and one. So treating it like a, you know, like sausage or like a potted meat, just, you know, a way to enjoy it, like with crudité. And then last but not least, I went totally fancy. All right. So I have a toasted rye point with baked brie, chili fig spread, chili fig jam or spread, and fresh peaches.
I feel like I'm in the wrong studio.
Yeah, we have them on a paper towel right now draining.
Yeah, no, and I mean draining like... like somebody took like a 10-pound bucket of KY jelly.
It looks like KY jelly.
Put a little bit of yellow food coloring in it, but like just a little bit, like urine colored.
Oh.
And then they dumped it on the studio table, and now Brent's
John, I want to point out
stroking and patting the weenies.
No toast points on our end. No toast points. And unfortunately, last night we used the last of our fig jam. So, actually, funny enough, I think we do have fig jam in there for our charcuterie boards that we do. So I'm actually lying to you. I think we do have fig jam.
So that was my plan. Like, it's not like I cook like that all the time, but I wanted to give it the,
with Vienna sausages, not all the time.
I wanted to give it the first class touch. I wanted to give it the low class touch, and I wanted to go middle ground and see if there's any universe in which I enjoy this food.
So you've really not had them before?
Really haven't. The smell.
All right, so I think you need to start with just the raw. I don't even know what they smell. I don't really have much of a smell, or I'm not smelling.
So, by the way, while we're on smell, it's interesting cooking them in the pan. Have you ever cooked a hot dog in a pan?
I don't believe so.
Really? Well, even if you cooked a hot, any way in which you warmed up a hot dog, it has a different smell once it gets warm, right? Mm-hmm. Cooking one of these in the pan is like that. If you're doing that with a hot dog the package had been cut open, but then left in the back of your fridge for about a year to where it's all slimy. It looks like it's okay because it's like preserved meat, but you know that you can't eat it. If you then went and cooked that, that's the smell that this gives off when you're cooking a Vienna sausage.
I don't smell them. Do you, Lisa? Do you have like notes of pungent smell off of them?
No, I've also never done anything but take them out of the can and eat them. Yeah. I don't even think that I get the slime off like you do.
Yeah. So
All right.
Well, try the raw one. I hate saying raw. Try your straight one first. I'm gonna go with one. Lisa, grab.
Diving in.
Here we go.
All right.
Mm. They have a little smell, I guess. You gotta like really put it in your nose.
Mm-hmm.
How is it two servings? I feel like.
Oh okay. So. The first thing that jumps out at you before the taste is the texture.
That's my favorite part.
Oh, it's like meat air.
Yeah, it's like a lighter hot dog because it is a ground form that they've
Yeah, it's like I don't know. It's like if you were to make a hot dog flavored styrofoam.
No,
styrofoam's too hard. It's like hot dog flavored air, and then the aftertaste is a little the aftertaste is almost a little Braunschweigery in a bad way. Like
I don't
not
care the in a bad way at all. I actually think they are incredibly delicious, and I know that Lisa does too. So I think you're on your own there.
Well, I'm not trying to argue with you, but I'm giving you my reactions.
That's why we're giving.
I'm
you
enjoying
ours.
the first hand account because I think that the first time I had them was absolutely in college, probably my freshman year in college. And my roommate had all kinds of things I'd never had before. This was one of the legal ones. And and I was probably...
Odd enough, though, they were all meats.
I was probably really intoxicated the first time I had them. So I don't remember my first-hand account. So now it's just a thing that I eat. So, like, you're making a lot of sense in the meat-flavored air kind of...
Because it is really light. But I don't really think it's light. Super light. Like, it's not, I mean, you know you're eating something. It's not like you're eating cotton candy where you're like, what happened to it?
It's like meat-flavored cotton candy.
Flavored cotton candy. I think we hit it. Yeah. All right,
so now we're not going to be able to participate in your...
gourmet.
Yeah, so...
I'm biting in just to another one.
I can't see them.
This is just a cooked version. Oh, here, Brent, I'll send you a picture of what I'm...
But it's like Spam. Can you eat Spam right from the can?
Yes, but it tastes better.
Fried.
All Spam is spiced ham. It's not gross.
It is kind of gross.
It's not because you won't eat it.
No, I've had it.
Yes.
When you fry it. Anyway, I'm sure.
You said I don't like the smell, but it tastes fine.
It tastes okay. It's got a weird texture.
The pan fried version. It's interesting. The skin there's the casing, toughens up. The inside is the exact same.
So it's a little like a bratwurst or something where you gotta like snap into it kind of thing?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, a little bit like that. It's a lot saltier after having put it in the pan.
Huh.
I must have concentrated the flavor or something. All right. So now I am going to try a small bite with cracker and cheddar cheese.
I'm going to go to number two straight from the can, drained and wiped. I say drained and wiped. I'm on like... paper towel number three on these.
Poured Diet Mountain Dew on it. I just find it hard that this whole can is 240 calories, which is like a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
that's not a meal.
That's what I eat while I'm waiting to start preparing my meal. I like to eat while I'm waiting.
If you're eating
to eat.
Like 600, 700 calories a day, something's wrong.
All right, so I had it with cracker and cheddar cheese.
Yeah. Was this a real slice of cheddar cheese, or was this a proper type of, like...
no, like cheddar cheese off the block. Cheddar cheese, like, off the block type of cheese.
I was really hoping that you had aerosol cheese for this.
Uh-oh. No.
Or the spread.
That would have been, yeah.
Processed cheese spread.
Oh, can we have a whole episode on, like, different processed cheeses?
I'm in.
Government cheese and you.
A side note, I love, speaking of cheap, gross foods, I love easy cheese.
Yeah, and I like it on those chick biscuits.
No, that's
something
I do not like. I don't like the taste.
Yeah, but also same roommate who introduced me to the weenies also introduced me to canned cheese.
How did you, you didn't have that as a child?
No, my parents did not have that kind of stuff in the house.
Really?
Mm-mm. I don't even know that I knew it existed.
It was only military rations for them. It was an odd household.
We did not have that, but we did have Cheese Whiz at home. At some point in time, then that just stopped being a thing. But we always had Cheese Whiz. My dad's cheese of choice was Velveeta.
My grandparents, I mean, when they made pizzas, like homemade pizzas.
Oh, my Lord. Are you serious?
Velveeta?
Oh, God, yeah. Huh.
Was it good?
It's the era. That's
I was
like,
going to say, people of a certain age, that processed cheese is all they had, so they got to
block,
like it.
Yeah, block cheese, block processed cheese was like, it's almost like government cheese, and it just, yeah. It came to fashion, and you didn't, it lasted so much longer. I mean, think about World War II era folks. I mean, you needed stuff that, kind of like us today. Right. You needed stuff that lasted on the shelf.
Well, there's so many things that have been in fashion and go out of fashion. Look at back in the day, cooking with lard, and people loved the taste of lard. Then it went to shortening like Crisco. Now you think, like, who has Crisco sitting around and stuff like that? But people do or did. People in prison.
Wasn't Crisco the big cult? Wasn't the big cult problem with Crisco the hydrogenated part, the hydrogenated fat?
I always thought it was that Loretta Lynn was their spokesperson. But, I mean, you know.
Lard has made a comeback, by the way. A lot of, when you watch, cooking
end,
shows.
Yeah, high end, they use lard.
They've been starting to use lard again. Okay, so I'll say I liked it better with the cheese and cracker, but I think that might just be because I could taste less.
Does it overpower it? Because is it?
I would think so. I would think it would just taste like, because then it's just almost like more filling to what you're eating, because it would probably kill the taste, right?
Yeah, I mean the taste of the Vienna sausage was still there. Don't get me wrong, but it was a little bit more balanced. All right, I'm going to dive in for my fancy version.
I'm excited about this one.
I'm having another because I'm just enjoying these. This one's got a crack down the side of it.
Mine did too.
Uh-oh.
Mm. So let the jelly in.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rashate, you're 50% off. Rashate. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
So is this the toast pointed one?
It is.
Is this brie and fig? Jam, jelly, whatever.
Rye toast point, baked brie, chili fig jam, fresh peach, and a Vienna sausage.
Wow, that is really fancy.
Brent, I sent you a picture, by the way.
Oh, was it to Facebook or Oh, nope, here it is. Oh yeah, look at this.
So excited.
So interesting. So I'm looking at how you you sauteed them. And yeah, they kind of like crack apart almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they kind of look like
a real like what you're talking about. She's going to say I think the
little smokies.
Little smokies, yeah.
All I got to say is this would be a perfect bite if I just took the sausage off.
Okay. Like, here, describe it to me while I eat mine so that it can taste better.
It's, obviously the saltiness of the brie and the bread from the toast point, mixed with the sweetness of the fig and the peach is awesome. And then, you know, I did that to hopefully balance the weirdness of the Vienna sausage, what I perceived to be. And I will say it did a good job of that. Like I could finish this with the sausages on it and would be okay with it.
While you've been describing that, Lisa and I finished our can of sausages.
Toaster leavings. Oh, so do you think like you could start like, don't they have like, you know, some of the fancier little like pretentious-y kind of restaurants where, you know, where you get like a dime sized thing on your plate to eat? Could do you think you could do like what you just did and you serve like just like like all that, the fig and the peach and the toaster, and then like half of the Vienna sausage, but like cut funny and then just put on there and then like a little like sprig of like mint or something on it. And then you charge like $30.
More than that. There's a restaurant in Chicago called Alinea, and it's the kind of thing that you have to buy a ticket for. It's like a grand a person and it's like an 8-course meal. And it's you know, they'll serve you something on top of grass. They'll smoke it at your table. They'll, you know, it's just the weirdest presentations, weirdest foods, but every bite you have is like magical. I need to open a restaurant like that, but have the main ingredient be various potted meats.
Yeah. See, you keep saying that. And that's funny because growing up, my dad loved potted meat, which is another armor thing. I hate it. I can't stand, you talk about, that really does have a pungent smell. If you just open up an original flavored armor potted meat, it's a very strong smell and it's like meat butter.
Can you show me a picture? I have no idea what you're talking
about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to Google's.
We had things like seven bone steaks and.
Seven bone steaks?
I don't know what the hell you're even talking about. So potted meat looks like this. It looks like
that was my nickname in college.
So it looks like a pate.
If you took the consistency of Twinkie filling, but it was made of meat, and you spread it like butter,
it's like fluffy.
Yeah, like it spreads like butter. I don't know how to say it.
Like Braunschweiger?
No. Not nearly that thick. Like butter.
Listeners, if you don't know what we're talking about when we say Braunschweiger, other people call it liverwurst.
No, she knows.
No, I do.
We
I
eat
do.
It like crazy.
I said listeners.
There's other people.
It's unlikely that someone's still with us this deep end.
It's not just the three of us just hanging out.
The one or two that might have held out.
I love the fact that literally on the top, so when you order, you know, I look at potted meat, and it is potted meat, and then it's next to creamed possum with sweet potatoes garnished in coon fat gravy.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Is that real or is this? No, it's $6.50 a can and you can buy
that
it.
That doesn't mean it's real. I bought you unicorn meat for fuck's
sake.
Yeah,
but that is a stuffed animal. I'm just trying to see.
You don't know. Have you opened it?
It's true.
So, okay. So, your overall. Oh, wait. Are we done with all your choices?
Yeah, all done.
Okay, and your final
thought is...
This is
literally real food. I'm sorry, real quick, though. This is real food, the coon fat, the cream possum and coon fat gravy, and you can buy it on Amazon.
Neat. Are you buying one? Oh, God, I'm not.
I guess it's real. I'm saying that. It's available
Please
everywhere.
Don't make me eat that.
All right, that might be a future Cafeteria 51.
I don't think I can do it.
I don't know. Maybe it's not real. We'll have to look it up. We'll figure it out for the next one. Anyway, yeah,
So Lisa, you're asking.
So my question would be, since you're not a fan of just the straight out of the can, well, I guess you're saying you're not a fan at all because you said the other thing would be great if you just took off the sausage, right? So
yeah,
pretty much they just taste like them no matter what you do to them.
Well, let's put if I had to rank in order, let me put it this way: I would not eat it straight out of the can by itself, and I would not toast it in the pan. That did something even odder to the consistency that I didn't appreciate, and making it saltier, which it did not need to be any saltier. Like, I think if I had to, if you know, you came back and you said, "Hey, you need to eat another can of these," or a can, I think I would definitely not toast them and put them on. It doesn't have to be fancy like brie and all of that, but put them on with a bunch of other ingredients to slightly mask. I'm not a fan of the flavor.
Real quick question for you, Lisa. When you eat these, you go, oh, man, that's salty.
Actually, I don't.
I don't notice salt at all.
I don't notice that they're really salty at all. I mean, obviously,
they are.
They
yeah.
are.
We're going to be drinking water for the rest of the day, but yeah, I don't notice
I know, but you're talking. See, like, I'm really bad at that, though, because I'm the person who, and this is not a joke, and I, as a child, I used to go get, like, a bouillon cube for a snack and, like, sit in, like, basically, like, a deer salt lick it. Like, that's fucking weird.
There's, I mean, it's very true that if you lower your salt consumption, that foods that you used to eat will taste saltier than, you know, because it's what you get accustomed to. It becomes your equilibrium. So if you typically eat more sodium-rich foods or typically salt your food and you stop doing that for like 2 weeks and then you went back to something that didn't taste salty to you, It will. I've done that experiment in the past. Now, on the flip side, I am not trying to be some sort of bastion of health over here. I salt the crap out of things and definitely use too much sodium in my life and eat too many canned foods and such. So I think it might just be, I'm guessing, because you two eat them with some sort of regularity, and I've never had them before. It's like my mouth doesn't know what to do with itself.
And I think a lot of it, and I think you were saying this earlier too, with the what people are used to. I grew up eating these. I mean, we had them in the house. My dad liked them, but my dad also worked road construction, so he could take them with him, and you know, you don't have to refrigerate it and just open it up. So it was in the house. So I was more apt to. Probably, as long as it wasn't repulsive to me then, just stayed with it. If you haven't had it, this isn't something that I would probably go out to seek out.
Right.
Other than for the novelty of it.
That's why we're doing it today. By the way, for a little preview of upcoming episodes, Brett.
Uh-oh.
I was not able to secure it at the store. However, was able to order Vegemite.
Yep.
So we'll give it a chance, right?
And we're going to do it this time when I eat it. I'm going to eat it the proper way, which is just a little itty bit on toast with a lot of butter, like they keep telling me to do. Because even the people
not
that eat it.
Not just a spoonful.
Yeah, because even the people.
So you're noticing the health food theme we have going here.
Right. Speaking of, you thought this was salty, John.
Yeah. So also, I picked up, Brent, you'll have to order it online. I think only available in Mexico. I've never seen it in English, but I was at Tony's Fresh Market, for those of you in the Chicagoland area. And I picked up Spam Tocino flavored, which I believe means bacon flavored Spam.
Oh, well, we got a Tony's right by us, so.
So you can pick that up, and then Brent, on its way to your studio, and then on its way to my studio, but won't arrive for a few weeks. So this won't be the next one. But is a special little surprise. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. However, I will say that there's a possibility that a version of this Joe Rogan forced someone to eat at some point.
Oh. Now, one of the grossest things that I bought on purpose.
Other shows that he's been on. Obviously, I'm speaking of news radio.
It is a quart of bull semen, and I'm really looking forward to it. one of the things I kind of, what was I going to say?
I'll tell you, I don't care. You're gonna see it when you open the package anyway. There are three different flavors of crickets.
We were just talking about this. So we were talking about how they talk about, Lisa and I were, how if we ate insects and seaweed, we could like feed the world 10 times over.
And also probably live forever.
And like crickets and other insects are a delicacy in a lot of parts of the world.
An amazing protein source, very healthy, low in saturated fat. Like everything is great about them.
I'm actually not even gonna be able to watch you eat them. I'm not lying. Like I eat a lot of weird stuff and I'm not really opposed. I don't think I can even be in the studio when you eat those.
You know, there's
I
a lot of people that would eat those crickets and probably be like, I am not touching a Vienna sausage.
I realize that. And those know, people would be funny. Wrong. But I don't think I can watch you eat crickets. And also, I'm not sure that I can respect John anymore.
Wow, I'm shocked that you
I'm
did.
I'm not sure I could respect John any less. But you know,
John's about to say that he's shocked that I respected him in the first place, and I understand where you're coming from, John, because I really put out a good facade to make you think that I did respect you, and I was trying really hard, but I can't do it anymore.
What are you gonna do?
I'm not digging this remote thing where I can't physically ask you to go back to the booth.
I'm coming out of the booth.
I'm coming out of the booth.
So I'm looking up the tocino ham, I'm sorry. It's a Filipino breakfast staple. Newest flavor, iconic lunch and meat brand. And no, it's not a marketing gimmick. Served with eggs on the side. It's sweetened cured pork with dish made with popular Spanish.
Did I buy? So I've had the Filipino breakfast meat tocino. There's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful little breakfast spot down in the city that does Filipino breakfast, and they do tocino and eggs. And
so that's what this is. It says is supposed to be. Like.
Okay, I was wrong. Even better. That's even better. It'll taste great. If you're talking traditional tocino, it's like pork shoulder that's marinated in all these awesome herbs and sauces and whatnot. And you fry it up in a pan, eat it with eggs. It's really, really, really good. I love Filipino breakfast in general.
Do you like chorizo?
I do like chorizo.
I do too. I'm now you got me looking. There's jalapeno spam, hun spicy spam, bacon spam. Tocino spam, spam light, black pepper spam. Ooh, black pepper spam. I like black pepper spam. Anything. Chorizo spam, boricua, boricua, spam. I mean, there is all sorts of flavors of spam. And this is just available that I could order right now on Amazon.
Well, get the Tocino one so we can do it.
I will.
By the way, the three flavors of the crickets.
Yeah. So
we're going to have to try at least three. Because there's salt, sour. This is in the package that you're going to be getting.
Okay.
Sour cream and onion,
okay.
Salt, vinegar, bacon, and cheese.
I hate sour cream and onion. So I'll do, I don't know what sounds worse to me, sour cream and onion or cricket. So the fact that I.
One hand, I've got a sour cream and onion potato chip. And the other hand, I've got a bacon and cheese cricket. Which one do you want? He can't decide.
Man, yeah. So, no, I'll give her a shot. Maybe the cricket will cancel out the flavor of the sour cream.
And we are going to, once we are going to the store more and stuff, we're going to have to do less preserved meats and more fruits and vegetables we've never heard of.
Yeah, you go to
unpreserved
don't
meats.
You guys have an H Mart by you?
Yeah. Yeah.
In their frozen food, seafood section is somewhat frightening at times.
Oh, yeah.
My dad loves,
man,
that section. He just brings stuff home.
Or we go to Mariano's and get the weird exotic meats like python and camel and,
You got to see H Mart. The stuff my dad used to bring home was frightening at best.
Awesome. Yeah, there's some really cool stuff. Guppy eyes. What are we going to cook with guppy eyes?
Lisa and I one time bought soggy sous. I don't know how to soggy says. It's a sliced jellied beef cheek and face in vinegar jelly.
Is pachav like the same thing?
I don't know.
Do you know what pachav is?
No. It was unfortunately just tastes like jellied vinegar and it was disgusting. More for that than anything else.
I'm here for the beef cheek, though. I mean, beef cheek, cheeks of anything tend to be good.
Yeah, that's why I thought, well, maybe this would be good, but it was what it was.
It was
in.
Just so vinegary. It wasn't really as gross as it sounds, but it tasted like you were almost like just eating vinegar jelly. It was so overpowering, and it could have just been the brand. You know, some brands are like that, where you said like the saltier, the not saltier, vinegary, mm-hmm. whatever. It was just vinegar.
Yeah. Well, now you know why the aliens won't talk to us.
This is not the only cooking I'm doing today, kids. Today is my anniversary, my 5-year wedding anniversary. Some said it couldn't be done, and those people are dead now.
including his wife, so they're having whatever he wants.
Honey, what do you want on your tombstone?
Norman! Yeah.
But I'm going to be cooking dinner tonight because we can't, we're not going to go out to eat. I mean, I'm not going to just go pick up takeout. I guess I could get something delivered, but I'm cooking dinner. I'm going to make a beef roulette with some interesting ingredients inside and
sausages. Are you adding Vienna sausages?
Not,
that's a roulette.
I've got my, I'm not going to be salting anything tonight. My wife's going to be like, normally your cooking's decent. Why is everything so bland? I'm like, well, had some Vienna sausages earlier.
I think tonight we're going to saddle up to we've got steaks and all the meats and all the stuff in the freezer that we got that are nice cuts that we need to eat. But we've been eating a lot of like pastas and things lately. And last night, because it was Friday and we hadn't done it in a while, we actually ordered a pizza. So we're probably eating leftover pizza. I had to guess for dinner tonight.
From 8 days ago?
From yesterday.
Oh, you said last Friday. I inferred that to me.
No, it was like it was Friday yesterday. So Friday, yeah. So we ordered a pizza, and now it's no longer Friday, but we still have the pizza. And if you order Chicago pizzas, it seems like no matter what you get, we don't get like the deep dish, but there's still like 45 pounds of pizza.
Yeah.
You know, so you eat on them like literally four or five times.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I've been seeing that a lot on Twitter, not the Chicago pizza thing, but we're eating a lot of carbs, you know. It feels like because it's not like you can't go get fresh vegetables to make a salad. Stores are open, but the collective country just feels like it's in comfort food mode. You know, pasta sounds good. Yeah. Which, if you were pragmatic, it'd be the opposite. You'd be eating everything fresh. That way, when the supply chain completely shuts down and we're all on our own, that's when you have to go to the boxed stuff.
Well, that's why I'm spending all my money into the food rehydrator market for all the people that have dehydrated too much food after they come out of this. When you got too much jerky
thing in hand. Extra Future 2, the Pizza Hut pizza.
Oh, yeah, the food. Who's going to eat all that pizza? I will. I'll eat that pizza.
We're fine. We have a 6-month supply of MREs.
That's true.
I know that's true. All right, so while we're on that subject, Back to the Future 2. Hot take here. My favorite in the series.
Probably, for me, the most watchable. I probably like the first one better just because of its was a new gimmick and a lot of fun. But I think number two is probably the one you can just shut your brain off and watch the most.
Yeah. And everyone agrees on
my favorite Doc Brown scene, Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh.
but that's
this from the man who will not eat a sour cream and onion potato chip, but is considering a cricket.
Well, I have to. I mean, I got to do my duty.
He has a job to do.
Cafeteria 51.
So here's a question. If they had reversed the order, if Back to the Future 3, if the theme of the second movie to be released had been the Wild West, and then the theme of the third movie to be released had been the future, would the Wild West 1, number 3 in our parlance, have been more well received?
I don't think so. I think it was the novelty of two, the future and stuff, that's what caught on. And they did such a good job with nods to things and changes
I agree. I just thought, if two is so good to all of us, if you hadn't experienced that yet, maybe you would have found some more value in three. That's all.
I like three though. I think it was a great movie, it wasn't as fun for me.
Are you a Matrix hater on the sequels?
I don't care for the Matrix series at all, period.
Even the first one?
Yeah, I enjoyed it, I guess, the first time I watched it, and I have no desire to go back and rewatch them. And I'm not excited for the new.
Boy, we definitely do have some different tastes. I'm the opposite. I'm a huge Matrix fan. I liked the trilogy. I thought the third was the weakest of the three, but I enjoyed number two immensely. And I didn't understand why people were panning that one. And I'm super stoked for the new one. But I also do see how can I say this? There's some movies that you just watch and you're like, if you don't fucking like this, there's something wrong with you. Like Shawshank, I can see how certain groups of people are just like, that's not my type of sci-fi. I get it. I personally enjoyed it, but I get it.
Right. No, I get that too. And it has fantastic values to the genre that it's in. And it set the tone for so many things out there.
Oh man. How many times have various ideas from the Matrix, both from a technological perspective in just movie making, but also, in the concepts and ideas of the future, how many times have those been stolen and ripped off since then?
Right. Until you actually probably, and this is just me making up, realize that it was all done in like a Korean film 6 months before that. And they just stole it all from that. Cause that's sadly how everything works.
Yeah. Like, I, you know, and obviously there's a fair amount of middle ground between theft and inspiration.
Well,
right?
Well, look at the Matrix shot, that whole like jumping in the air and spinning around and stuff. That was created for that movie.
Yeah, they literally create. Yeah, the 360 degree pan around Keanu while he's dodging the bullets.
Yeah, so good for him. I'm more excited for Bill and Ted 3. That's me.
When is that coming out?
I don't know now because everything's pushed back. So
my wife is telling me that she's a big Grey's Anatomy fan, and she just found out that they're not. I guess they were in the middle of filming when all this went down. The final three episodes of the season just like aren't happening.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Aren't they essential workers? Sorry, cheap shot.
The Karens of the world are unite. Like they're right. You talk about Trump wanting everybody to go back to work. Karen wants everybody to go back to work because she needs the
need episode. McSteamy or McDreamy or Mc, I don't know, Flacity. I don't remember who's on there.
I made a joke like that like a month ago, and my wife's like, "You idiot! He's been dead for like five seasons or something." I'm like, "I didn't." Okay, good.
Why are you touching me?
I'm touching her feet under the table. I just literally accidentally bumped her. She freaked out. Like, why are you touching me?
God, it's almost like you guys are married.
It's like we're quarantined together, 24/7.
Now, if you really want to freak him out, not him, but back to the
McSteamy,
the McSteamy McDreamy. Fans. The wait. I don't know.
McFly?
Take away all the White Claw.
Oh my God.
All the White
Claw. All the White Claw.
Karens of the world. And shout out to Karens that listen to the show. I don't think there's any.
There are no Karens listening to the show. Yeah.
You're cool. I didn't do it. It's become the meme. It's the weird haircut. Karen wants to see a manager meme. I don't know.
I got a cousin, Chad. I like him. He's a cool cat. I always feel bad for him. And then, you know, how many Kyles?
Yeah, Chad was another. Yeah.
Chads and Kyles, you know. Every time a Kyle walks in a room, the drywall takes a deep breath, you know. So please not today, Kyle.
Oh, every time our Kyle walks in the rolls in the room, however, we get dumber.
That's one of the things we're gonna have to do, I guess, is make cheese muffins.
Yeah, actually, while we're cooking. Nation, if you're still listening, send us your cheese muffin recipe.
Yeah.
We'll see if it matches up with Kyle's.
We'll both make the same recipe.
And I think somebody should attempt to make them with cheese from a can.
Ooh. Canned cheese muffins.
It sounds like something he would do.
Yeah.
He said, okay, so if we do cheese from a can, are we still also going to do an episode on various cheese products?
Yeah, cheese muffins can be incorporated into the cheese product episode, I think.
Oh, I think that's a good call. Yeah, I like
no
that.
No such thing as too much cheese.
Yeah, and if somebody sends us recipes, then Brent can make
too
them.
Much cheese? Is such a thing even possible?
Well, and Brent, you're going to have to let Kyle make his, whatever his version is.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing. He says that, and he always says it, but we've never actually tried his cheese muffins.
That's true. We have no idea. We have, you know.
But I'm saying you're going to have to let him.
All right. Well.
And then we'll try them all.
I think we've annoyed them enough for this week of Cafeteria 51 for our quarantine ramblings. But stick around because we're still coming out with our regular episodes every week. And we're going to be doing these as we can. And, you know, some of the stuff coming up. And if you want to see a weird food that we can get our hands on or make easily, let us know. And we'll check that out, too.
Please do not send us any bugs.
There might just be another H51 adventure coming along down the path, down the line.
Pretty quick, hopefully. And that means within the next 2 years.
Yes, yes. But by the end of 2 years from now.
Yep, so keep an eye out for that.
Coming out of quarantine.
Between now and the end of quarantine.
Yeah, we have lots of plans, and we had lots of stuff coming up that quarantine has kind of said... And but we're working on it all. So.
Stop touching me.
We're adapting. We are adapting. We will survive.
So with that said, I've been your, what am I? So what are we here, John? The, I don't want to say the lunch lady.
Oh,
I'm your,
obviously you're a hunter because you prefer these things.
I'm your, not Major D, your sous chef, your guide. Yeah, I'm your animal
your
guide.
Your kitchen help.
Next week we're having recipes from Joe Exotic. The Tiger King. So with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been the other hand.
I have a headache.
And Yeah, enjoy your cafeteria food.
I will. All right. Toodles.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.